Welcome to Parallel Church. If it's your first time joining us, a special welcome to you. We are in part two of a series called Anchors, right at the beginning, so you picked a good Sunday to come. We're also one church in multiple locations, so let's welcome everyone that's joining us this morning in Tabor with Pastor Renee and Jill. Welcome to you guys. Welcome to everyone joining us in Clara's home with Pastor Brian and Heidi. Welcome to you guys. Welcome everyone joining us in Okotoks with Pastor Joel and Tanisha. Welcome to you guys. Welcome to everyone joining us in Lloydminster with Pastor Mike and Kara. Welcome to everyone joining us in Swift Current with Pastor Tom and Lori. Welcome Lethbridge. And welcome all of you joining us online, wherever you're joining us around the world. A special welcome to all of you. Part two of our series, Anchors, based on this verse in Hebrews 6:19. Right over Hebrews says this hope, the Amplified Bible says it this way, this hope, this confident assurance, this hope is not wishful thinking. There's hope that's wishful thinking, but this is not the hope that it's talking about. It's not talking about wishful thinking. I hope something works out. That's wishful thinking. This hope, this confident assurance we have as an anchor of the soul. It cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. This series, the reason why we're doing it is because we're in search of this hope, what the Bible defines as a hope that will not break down, will not give out, no matter the pressure put on it. I don't know, anybody watch the news? Anybody have conversations at work? Come on, anybody think that we need some hope? The world needs some hope. We need some hope. Anybody want to admit, I need some hope? Right? Lots of things that we can hope in, but we're in search of the hope that will not break down, will not give way, no matter the pressure put on it. Because there's lots of things we can hope in. Lots of things the world offers us to hope in, but not all of them stand. Not all of them will hold no matter the pressure put on it. Some will hold for a little while. Lots of good things to hope in. Some will hold for a little while, but no matter the pressure, we're looking for a hope that no matter the pressure, it will hold. The Job said it this way. He said that there's lots of things we can hope in. He says, such is the destiny of all who forget God. He's not talking about those who are atheists or all those who are non-believers. He says, those who forget God. That there's times, we talked about this last week, there's times in your life, there's times in my life where I just forget God. If you're like me, and I'm assuming that all of us are human beings, we've got a lot of similarities in this way, that there's times where I lean on other things. I lean on knowledge. I lean on education. I lean on wisdom, experience, lots of things that I can lean in that I go to first, that I lean on first in a situation where I feel hopeless or I feel stressed. I will lean on my own understanding sometimes. I will lean on other people's understanding, the expert's understanding. I will lean on all kinds of things. And it's oftentimes, this is me, we looked at this last week, and maybe it's you too, but there's times where I forget God. Come on, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be all my time. It's supposed to be spent on remembering God. But there's times in my life where I'm like, hey, there's even solutions in the church where I was like, I know how to do that. I'm going to figure that out. And I forget until everything else I've leaned on gave way. And then I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I should pray about that. Anybody else? Okay, I'm not the only one. Such is the destiny of those who forget God. Not forget him totally, but forget him in a certain circumstance. So perishes the hope of the godless. That means less God in a circumstance or an area of my life that there should be. What they trust in is fragile. What they rely on is a spider's web. They lean on the web, but it gives way. They cling to it, but it does not hold. There's lots of things we can lean on. Lots of good things we can lean on. But there's only one thing. There's only this hope that the writer of Hebrews says, that will hold an anchor, that will hold no matter the storm. That's what we're searching for. And we're going to look at another storm in the Bible and see an anchor. We're looking for anchors that will hold no matter the storm, no matter the pressure. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 27. And I'm going to read this story, and there's so much in this story that is powerful. I'm going to begin in verse 6. I'll put some of the verses up there. Not all of them are going to be up there, so if you have a Bible, I encourage you to follow along with it. It says, verse 6, it says, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us aboard. And the us that he's talking about is right now is Paul. He's a prisoner. Luke, who's writing this account, which Luke, I'm wondering if any time he ever felt sorry for himself and going, it's cool that I get to document everything that Paul does, but when Paul's a prisoner, I get to go with him to prison. That's so fun. When Paul's shackled, he wasn't given the suite on the boat. He was in the bottom, and it says, here's Luke saying, great, we're on board this ship too. This is awesome. I get to be there too. This is great. Verse 7, when we had sailed slowly for a good many days and with difficulty had arrived at that place, Cnidus, I don't know. Since the wind did not permit us to go any further, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. And with difficulty sailing past it, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lacia. When considerable time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous since even the fast was already over. When I read that phrase, when considerable time had passed, the thing that came to mind for me is there's times where I am full of faith, and there's times when I'm full of hope. And that I can anchor in that. But after a while, after some time or considerable time has passed, and the circumstances don't change, it becomes harder and harder to hold on to faith and to hold on to hope. Anybody else? That I can stand, you get a first diagnosis, at first you're like, I'm going to stand. Or you have something that comes up, I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe. But after a considerable time has passed, doesn't it get harder to hold on to hope? And you see no change in the circumstance, and you're, you know, like I'm praying, and God, where are you? After a considerable time has passed, it becomes harder, and we begin to wear down, and we begin to lose hope, and you feel the hope slipping away. And when hope slips away, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, when hope slips away, faith follows. I'm going to give you through this next number of verses that we're going to read. I'm going to give you four common reasons why we get ourselves into a storm, why we find ourselves in a storm. Number one, and this is based on this considerable time has passed phrase. Number one is we allow our feelings to lead us. Right? That sometimes, man, I can feel faith. Like I can come to a church service and I can hear a good message and I can walk out of here and I feel faith, and then I hit a storm on Monday or maybe even Sunday afternoon, right? You walk right back into the circumstance and you feel it, and all of a sudden you feel the fear again, or you feel the anxiousness again, or you feel the stress again, and immediately what happens? We begin to allow our feelings to dictate our hope, right? And we end up losing hope. We end up losing faith because we allow our feelings to lead. That's the first cause. Some storms we cause ourselves. We get ourselves into trouble. Nobody else? Or that's just me confessing in front of everybody. Good. Okay. It's good. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, that was me. Again. Sometimes we cause our own storms. And much like the men in the storm, my leading cause of trouble is my impatience. I confess that a lot. I'm still working on it. For 13 years of preaching to you, I've confessed many times. And in 13 years, has it gotten any better? I don't know. But I kind of like the immediate answer that when I prayed for it the first time, I like the answer now. How many know that God doesn't always answer on our timetable or according to my patience level? And whatever you do, don't make this mistake like I have. Please don't pray for patience. Because you know how God gives it to you, right? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's keep on. Paul began to admonish them. Paul's a prisoner. Luke's writing this, and Paul begins to speak out. Prisoner, from the belly of the ship, he begins to speak out, admonish them after a considerable time. And he says to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, and only the cargo and the ship, but also for our lives. Thank you, prisoner, from the belly of the ship for your encouraging words. I perceive this is going to be disastrous. You can't even see from that prison in the dungeon in the bottom of the ship. Thanks for your wise words." Like, okay. But look at this, verse 11. "But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul." Which I look at that and going, well, yeah. Like, Paul's not a sailor. Like, I would listen to the pilot and I'd listen to the experts too. But God was warning them through Paul, and they ignored his warning, which leads to the second reason, cause of storm, is that we listen to the wrong people. Even experts sometimes, come on, can be wrong. Nobody's ever had an expert let them down? Come on. Even experts sometimes can be wrong, and we get ourselves into storms because, well, we trust the expert's opinion more than we trust what God has already been speaking to us in our gut. Something here going, ooh, I got a warning here. Yeah, but they're saying. Yeah, but they think it's okay. Right? We end up following experts. And there's, Solomon says there's wisdom in seeking others' advice. There's wisdom in doing that. And sometimes the experts are right. But sometimes the experts are the spider's web we lean on that doesn't hold. Verse 12 says, "Because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there." Number three, right, is we assume the majority are right. Sometimes we get led into a storm because we listen to the wrong people, but sometimes we get into the storm because we listen to the majority. And how many know that the majority aren't always right? Nobody knows that? Okay, do I have to explain? Okay. We know that just because the majority says something doesn't mean it's right. That sometimes the majority can be right. Sometimes the experts can be right, but the majority is not an anchor that's going to hold, no matter the pressure put on it. That the majority is a spider's web, and sometimes you lean on that web, and sometimes it's good, but sometimes that web just gives way. That's not the anchor we're looking for. Verse 13, "Then a moderate south wind came up. Supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore." So what happens is there's a storm, there's weather, they're not supposed to be sailing this time of year. All the sailors know this, but all of a sudden there's a calm day. And they're thinking the circumstances are right. And I'm reading this and I'm going, this is like leaning on Alberta's weather and thinking because we have a warm day that spring is here. Right? We had 20 above a couple weeks ago and it was amazing and everyone's planting. And then what happened? Twice, come on, twice I leaned on that spider's web. Come on, right? Listen, the fourth reason is that sometimes we rely too heavily on the circumstances. Again, the circumstances can be a spider's web. I can listen to my own feelings. I can listen to the experts. I can listen to the majority are saying. I can listen to the circumstances saying everything's just lined up. It just happens. But how many know that sometimes God's leading through circumstances, and there's sometimes just it's just a coincidence is not a coincidence. Sometimes God leading through there, but you have to know that it's God leading you, because sometimes a circumstance or just everything aligning, the stars aligning perfectly, is a spider's web, and you lean on it, it's not going to hold. That's not the anchor we're looking for. I'm not looking for my feelings. It's a spider's web. I'm not looking for the experts. That's a spider's web. I'm not looking for the majority, that's a spider's web. I'm not looking for the circumstances, those are spider's web. So what is the anchor? Verse 14. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Uraquilo, or the Northeaster. You know how bad a storm is if they name it. All right, all the hurricanes, we know, like they all have a name. You know this is a bad one. If it's just a windy day, come on, it's Lethbridge. Right, I always get a kick. I just, sorry for all the rest of the campuses, but I always get a kick out of the reporters in the midst of a hurricane claiming the windy day, and they're standing there, they could barely stand up, and the wind is blowing, all the rest of it, and then they say how fast the wind is going, and I was like, that was Tuesday in Lethbridge. Nobody, come on, nobody else has thought that. Okay. And when the ship was caught in this storm and it could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. And running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. And after they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Cyrus, they let down the sea anchor and in this way let themselves be driven along. They did what the experts should do in the midst of the storm. They girded the ship. They let down the anchors. They leaned on their expertise of what to do in the midst of the storm, their experience. They did what they should have done. But the next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo and began to throw it overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually, do you see this? Was gradually abandoned. Anybody feel that ever? That after being battered and battered and worn down and tired, and you've exhausted your feelings, you've exhausted your expertise, you've gone to others for support and help, and all this, and nothing that you know what to do or know how to do has saved you. All that, what happens is all hope of being saved in the storm gradually abandoned. All. Did you know when they said all hope, you know that that included Paul and Luke? They felt hopeless too. Because come on, let's just be real. Sometimes as believers, we're supposed to be the ones that have all the faith and all the rest of it. But it's encouraging to me that Paul, we saw this last week as well, another circumstance here where Paul lost hope too. Let's be real. Just because we're believers, just because we have a big God, doesn't mean that we battle hopelessness with ease. That sometimes, in the midst of storms, sometimes we feel the same fear, the same anxiety, the same stress. We feel the same things. They felt hope gradually leaving. Verse 21, and when they had gone a long time without food. And when I read that, see, here's what happens. Have you ever gone through something so stressful that what you know to do to strengthen yourself physically, you abandon doing? then in the midst of stress, you stop eating, or you stop exercising, or you stop sleeping, or you stop all the things that you know to regain your strength. And here's what happened. They abandoned food. And we'll see in a minute that they had lots of food, plenty of food. They didn't throw the food overboard. They hadn't run out of food. They had plenty of it. They just stopped eating. Why? Because they were so stressed out. And here's an indication. I've walked with many people through loss of loved ones or different things. I've gone through it myself where I had to encourage and be encouraged to keep eating, sleep, find ways to sleep, do this. Because what happens is if we abandon our physical needs, we get weaker to be able to stand in hope. Because our flesh is weak. Then Paul stood up in their midst. And this is a rousing speech. Look at this rousing speech. Men, you ought to have followed my advice. I highly, highly, highly recommend not using the I told you so speech to someone who is hopeless. Highly recommend. I mean, I saw this speech and I was like, Paul, this is a prisoner in the bottom of the boat speaking up, I told you. I told you we shouldn't have gone nowhere. Like, please don't do this. Please don't use the I told you so speech to somebody who's going through hopelessness. Unless you help relocate their faith somewhere else, their hope somewhere else, which Paul, thank God, does. He gives them the I told you so speech, but then he helps them relocate. Look what he says. Says, you should have listened, followed my advice, to not set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. And they're like, thank you. He says, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Which I'm thinking in this midst, the rest of the guys, let's just be honest. Let's put yourself in these guys' in the circumstances. They're in the midst of the storm. They've lost all hope. And a guy speaks up and says, God spoke to me. It's like, yay. God said we're going to be saved. They would not have, listen, they would not have, it would not have swayed their hope, except, watch this, except that they would have seen something stand out that they would never seen. They would have seen renewed confidence in Paul, and they would have seen in him a confidence that nobody else had. And whenever you stand with confidence and with faith in the midst of the circumstances, isn't it inspiring? When you see somebody else that is confident and has hope, you latch on, don't you? Because you're looking for hope. And Paul's confidence would have spoken to these guys, and they're like, okay, he really believes this. He's really got hope. This is not wishful thinking. Something in him has changed. So they're listening now. Then he says, therefore, keep up your courage, man, for I believe God. He didn't say you have to believe God. He says, I believe God. That it will turn out exactly as I have been told. I believe God. Paul found a new anchor. And he chose, listen, he chose to believe. He chose to set his hope on God. And then, look at this, he said, I believe what I've been told, but we must run aground on a certain island. I wonder if he just says, I believe God, and I believe that he's going to save it, but we're going to run aground. Paul, what did you say? Yeah, the ship's going to be lost. And I'm thinking all these guys are going to be going like, what do you mean the ship's going to be lost? If the ship is lost, have you seen the waves? We're lost. No, God told me that all of us are going to survive. Not one of us is going to die. All of us are going to survive, just the ship's going to be lost. But Paul, will drown without the ship. I don't know. That's what God told me. Come on. When I read this, I was like, some of us have kind of our safety nets, right? Our security blankets. And for these guys, the security blanket was in the boat. It's kind of like, anybody ever seen the movie Croods, The Croods? Okay, great cartoon. The movie The Croods, where Grug the father is, it was his security blanket. It was the cave. They could only leave the cave if they were desperate enough to go get food and then come back into the cave. You got to get back in the cave. And then what happens? An earthquake happens and it wipes out the cave. And then they find out that life is actually outside of the cave, that it was in their security blanket. Their security blanket was actually a prison. It wasn't secure at all. It was a prison, which is often, come on, which is often our security blankets are the fear, are driven by fear, and it is the prison, that fear itself, because we're afraid to step out, we're afraid to believe, we're afraid to have hope, we're afraid to have faith, we're afraid to step out of our cave, our security blanket, our boat, and we feel like if the boat goes down, we go down. But there's something, don't lean on, don't trust in your security blankets, don't trust in what you know, trust in God. That even sometimes, come on, let's just be real. Sometimes my security blankets are actually the prison that God wants to get me free from. Verse 27, but when the 14th night came and we had been driven by the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors began to surmise that they may be approaching some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms, whatever that is, I'm sure. And a little, they found it to be shallow. A little farther on, they took another sounding, and it seemed to be 15 fathoms, and they're getting closer to land. So fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea, on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. What's amazing is that they listened to him this time, a prisoner. Then the soldiers cut the ropes from the ship's boat and let it fall away. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Say, I told you there's some food. Saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. And not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. And all of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. Isn't that amazing? How did they get encouraged? The circumstances hadn't changed one bit. But Paul was so anchored in the word of God, Paul had so much faith, so much hope, that it inspired everybody else on the boat too. Because sometimes it just takes one of us to stand up and saying, no, 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 God said, God is. And if you're like me and my wife, sometimes when we're going through a storm together, there's one day where she's got all the faith and I can anchor onto that, where fears overcome me or overwhelm me. And the next day she's kind of wavering and I'm like, no, this is what, and we feed off each other in the faith. And these guys have done it the same way. And all of us in the ship, look at this. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. And when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. And when the day came, they could not recognize the land, but they did observe a bay with a beach, and they resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the foresail to the wind. They were heading for the beach. They cast off the other anchors. They didn't need them anymore. They had a sure sure-er, if that's even a word. They had a more sure anchor. What other anchors, come on, what other anchors do you need to cast off? What security blankets do we need to shed? What cave do we need to leave? Verse 41 says, but striking a reef where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from their intention and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest should follow, some on planks and the others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they all 276, they all were brought safely to land. Now, come on. It's an amazing story. The detail in there, you know, Luke gives us the detail. He's very detailed. Amazing story. But what does that have to do with us? Because what really happened in this story is remarkable. And we see all the different things that we can lean on. We can see all the spider's web, but we see also Paul having an unshakable confidence in the midst of the same storm, in the midst of the same circumstances. All of a sudden, hopeless Paul finds hope. And all of a sudden, Paul, a prisoner, begins to have so much hope that everybody else on the boat listens to him too. A prisoner. The pilot and the captain are suddenly listening to a prisoner. Why? Because he had hope. And what was his hope? He got a word from God. David, King David, said this in Psalm 119, similar things. Look at, he says this. Paul could have written this. David says this, my soul faints with longing for your salvation. What is he saying? That's Bible speak, for I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, God, for you to answer my prayer. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to be saved from this storm, from this thing. I've been waiting and waiting for an extended period of time, God. I'm fainting. My soul, my inner being is fainting, waiting. Paul's admitting hopelessness, but then he says this, but I have, what's the word? Put my hope. I didn't feel hope. I decided to put my hope in your word. David admits that he's hopeless, but he has chosen now to put his hope in his word. Why? He goes on, he says this, your word, this is why I'm putting my hope in your word. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day. For all the things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my hopelessness, in my affliction. Now watch, this is amazing what David is saying. You see it? David explains that the reason why he's hoping in the word, unwaveringly in God's word, is that because it's eternal. It stood firm. In other words, he's recognizing that this is an anchor that has not given out through the hundreds of years since the law was first given. The only part that he had of God's word at that time was Moses' law. And he says even that part of it, the first five books of the Bible, has stood firm for hundreds and hundreds of years. It has not changed. It has not wavered. It's been eternal. It stood no matter what. And he says, so I have chosen, I have found an anchor that I can lean on that has stood the test of time, that has stood, has had so much truth that no matter the circumstances, no matter the majority have said, no matter what is relevant or not relevant, no matter anything, it has stood. I found an anchor. I found an anchor. I found an anchor. So he says, I'm putting my hope there because it's something that's going to stand. And then he says this, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts, the laws. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. He didn't say, I'm believing them all. I'm just thinking on them. I'm pondering your statutes. To all perfection, I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Which, come on. Many people view God's laws. Many people view the Bible, come on, as restrictive. Right? Rules, restrictive rules that bind us up, and they're craving freedom. And David says this, come on, but you're to perfection. I see all the things out there. There's limits. There's limits in that cave, Grug. There's limits. It's a prison. But in God's word, there is freedom. That's what he's saying. The commandments are boundless. There's extraordinary freedom. Paul says this in Romans 15 about the word of God. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. What is it? Through this, through all the stories in here, including the story we just read about Paul and his shipwreck and all the rest of it, through that happened thousands of years ago. Through that, we might what? Find hope. God's word is an anchor that will hold no matter the pressure put on it. And I encourage you, come on, I encourage you to set, as David did, set your hope on his word. Make it a regular part of your life. Choose to follow it more than your own feelings. Choose to follow it, lean on this, rather than just leaning on other people's advice. Get advice from other people, but that's not the anchor to lean on. This is the anchor. The majority, come on, if the majority contradict this, don't lean on the majority. Come on, this word is going to hold. This is going to stand. Get your feelings, don't lean on your feelings, but I don't know if I agree. I promise you, if you want to get through a storm, lean on something that stood the test of time. Come on. Popular opinion, come on. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set you free. Solomon said this in Proverbs 12. This is today's takeaway, is that the truthful words will stand the test of time, but one day every lie will be seen for what it is. That's just hope right there, isn't it? Truthful words will stand the test of time. That's what David was saying. Truthful words are going to stand the test of time. But one day every lie will be seen for what it is. The truth stands the test of time. Opinions come and go. The word of God is an anchor. Billy Graham said it this way. He said the words of Solomon, he said it this way. Look at this. This book, talking about the Bible, has come down to us through the ages and is still relevant today. It has passed through so many hands, appeared in so many forms, and survived every kind of attack. Neither barbaric vandalism nor civilized scholarship has destroyed it. Neither the burning of fire nor the laughter of skepticism has accomplished its annihilation. Through the many dark ages of men, its glorious promises have survived unchanged. My challenge to you is to make this an anchor. Get into this daily, which is why we've got, you know, the book Six Anchors, which we've made available for you. There's more here if you didn't get one last week, which is why it's a devotional. It starts with scripture, because it's not Kelly's opinions that are going to get you hope. Don't lean on me. Please don't. I'm a spider's web. I'll give way. But God's word will stand. And when you find how much the word talks about hope, and you can find hope and an anchor in there, come on, it's something you can lean on. And when you get to the place like Paul was, where we felt hope slipping away, I need something to stand on. I need something to stand on. Go. Come on. Go to his word. And the timelessness of this, and the fact that it stood thousands and thousands of years, over 40 authors, 66 books, over a period of 3,000 years, writing down this, and it stood, come on. Come on. It's an anchor that'll hold. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that you give us a better word, better than our feelings, better than the experts, better than the majority, better than the circumstances. Your word is an anchor. You give us a better word. We lean on you. In Jesus' name, amen.